Welcome. It's Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. The show's name hopefully gets across the fact that we want to take a second look, a fresh look, get a new perspective, a new outlook on life. And we try our best to come up with topics that we think are part of daily life and cross our paths, not necessarily every day, but at some point in our lives. And how do we navigate all of these things? That's what we're talking about each and every day on this program. And Debbie, of course, as we like to say, it is the listener's show. So we have the phone lines open right now. Looking forward to seeing those get filled up.
So we want you to dial in as soon as we introduce this topic and share a little bit about where this came from as we were praying about it. We want you to weigh in, and maybe we could, well, not maybe. We always seem to weave it into our spirituality, and that's what Take Two is all about. So we get a little bit changed, we grow a little bit closer to God. I love that about Take Two. So here's the number, 1-800-585-9396. The question is there a little bit of a daredevil in you? You remember Evel Knievel, God rest his soul. He died 10 years ago. We always watched his stunts and saw the things he did. And is there a little bit of that in you? Do you have that little bit of that you like to be challenged, that adrenaline rush, you know, stretch that comfort zone, kind of, you know, see what you can do or what you can, or you're able to do physically or mentally? It's an interesting question, and it does pertain to the way we view God and the way we are formed in our faith. So, Jerry, I'm excited about this show. I think you came up with this one, and I really love it.
Well, let's hear from you, our listeners, about this. 1-800-585-9396. We do know that in life we can push limits. We can test God. We know that Jesus replied to Satan when he was tempted in the desert, "Do not put the Lord your God to the test." And yet throughout human history, mankind has pushed the limits of what is possible. Now we have people doing things some generations ago you never would have heard of, wrapping some kind of, I don't even know what it is, rubber or elastic thing around their bodies and jumping off of bridges and coming within a couple feet of the river below.
And their head snapping.
Yeah, bungee jumping.
Bungee jumping.
Skydiving. Skydiving's been around for a long time. You even have people who will put their head inside a crocodile's mouth or something.
Oh, yeah.
So, dear listeners, a lot of this pertains to really our makeup, Debbie, our psychological, emotional makeup. I'm not really much for a lot of this stuff. But there are some people who just say, if there's something new to be tried, I'm going to try it. So,
right.
Dear friends, we want to hear from you. If you've done something that you would consider a little daredevil-ish, share that with us. Or if there's something on your list, your bucket list, 1-800-585-9396.
That's true. We all have those bucket lists. So if there is something on there that qualifies for that daredevil in you, then call in. Or maybe share with us that you did have that daredevil sense in you, and then something woke you up and you realized, this is pointless, or maybe I shouldn't be going in this direction. We want to hear every angle. That's what Take Two is all about. It's not Take Two, it takes two of us to do a show. It's Take Two, a second look at things. And we really want to view it from all different perspectives. 1-800-585-9396. Hello to YouTube and Facebook Live. We're also on there as well, and the chat's going strong. So this is always a good time for us to weigh in on this. You can also do it by texting. You text the letters EWTN to 55000.
Well, I'm going to guarantee there are many of you listening who, like me, I will absolutely admit that when I was younger, there are things that I would do that I wouldn't consider doing now. And I think that just is part of youth. So call in and share about how maybe your perspective has changed with regard to not taking risks. See, that's another kind of an underlying theme of this discussion here today is, you know, what kind of risks are okay, which ones are maybe a little bit outside the limits, so to speak, and how has your thinking changed about that?
Yeah, I think this is going to be a great show. So if you really feel like you have something to say about this, keep in mind that there are a lot of souls listening. And so they're just absorbing everything you have to say, and your life story is very important. Everybody's life story is very unique. And so if you impart that to us, we always can find something that we can really put into this discussion. So call in. We're very friendly. It's a fun show. It's a great show because we're getting letters and email responses all the time saying how much this show has impacted your life in a positive way, and that really does warm our heart. So don't hesitate, 1-800-585-9396.
Yeah, maybe here's another angle. Maybe there was something that a friend said, "Hey, let's go try this," and you were like, "No, absolutely no way." And then somehow they managed to talk you into it, and perhaps you realized, perhaps through doing something like this, you came to realize you have more self confidence, more self assurance than you maybe thought you did, or you were able to really see the hand of God in it and say, "God, I'm going to trust you on this." And again, we're not talking about utterly ridiculous things. You know, we're not saying, when the Satan said to Jesus, throw yourself down from here, had Jesus done that, he would have died. So we're not talking about doing things like that. We're talking about calculated risks, kind of the daredevil things. And you mentioned Evel Knievel, Debbie. I grew up watching him, and I was just absolutely enthralled at some of the things he would do.
Oh, I was as well. I mean, you got to give him so much credit, because some of the stunts didn't go well, and yet he just kept going and going and going, and he didn't even die. I was looking it up just recently. I don't think he died of doing a stunt. He died of some pulmonary issue or something of that nature. He died at 69 years old, which is kind of young. You wonder how much his body was able to take from all those stunts. And that's a good point too, Jerry. You know, as we get older, I think we don't want to take as many risks, because we don't want to end up in rehab or the hospital and having to recover at a lengthy, stay in the hospital. So that plays a factor too. Maybe like you said, when you're younger, you have a little bit more of a gutsy way about you. And when you get older, maybe you start to think, I don't know about that.
Well, again, and that brings up another angle. How much does pride play into this? Because if we're dared to do something, we may not have the humility to say, to think, we know in our minds, I shouldn't do this. But when we're in front of our friends, often, Debbie, there's no way we're going to say, oh, no, I can't do that. We're just going to rush right up there and do that.
Right.
And I think of something like, and this isn't not a knock on the X Games, that ESPN does, but, those kind of extreme sports games, and you look at some of the things that, and it's always these young people pushing the extremes, the limits. And what I've often kind of only half jokingly said is they don't show you the ones they cart off. They show you the ones who hit the landing, and get the medals and the trophies and all of that.
Right.
But I think the reality is, and so is there a sense, dear listeners, especially among our young people today, of maybe a diminishing appreciation of the human body, or the willingness to take more risks simply out of wanting to fit in, or not be rejected by our peers, things like that. So a lot of different ways we can come at this.
That's a really good point, Jerry. I never even thought of that, to pushing the limits. Is that really what God intended for us to do? That's a really good point. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit, and that is important. This is, it's already turning into a catechetical show. I love how it seems to always manage to do that. 1-800-585-9396. This is Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. When we come back, we're going right to Brian in Massachusetts.
Christ is the answer with Father John Ricardo.
John 6, verses 48 to 58. Jesus says, "I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread," meaning me. "This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that a man may eat of it and never die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread which I shall give for the life of the world is my flesh." At which the Jews disputed among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" They're scandalized by this. How is it that we're not? How is it that we just hear this and go, "Oh yeah, I know that passage"? They're just outraged and at least perplexed. Sane people, inspired teachers, wise men, prophets don't say things like this.
Carry EWTN with you everywhere when you download the EWTN app. You can enjoy EWTN TV and radio live streams, shows on demands, prayers and devotionals, and the latest Catholic news. Visit EWTNapps.com today.
This is Cy Kellett. Join me for Catholic Answers Live. It's 2 hours dedicated to Catholic apologetics and evangelization. Designed for Catholics and non-Catholics alike, It's your opportunity to hear from and talk with some of the leading apologists and theologians in the church today. You've got questions? We've got Catholic answers. Catholic Answers Live, weekdays, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
This is Janet Benkovic, host of Women of Grace.
Hello, this is Cardinal Donald Wuerl of the Archdiocese of Washington.
This is Gloria Purvis, host of Morning Glory. Thanks for listening to the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Delighted to have you with us on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. We're going to go right to your calls. Is there a little daredevil in you? Do you feel good about that? Have you done something really wild and crazy? Safe, hopefully safe, not too risky. And maybe that was just the total adrenaline rush, a real real thrill for you. Or maybe there's something on your list that you want to try sometime, as more and more things seem to be created all the time to push the limits of human capability. So we're going to talk with Brian, as Debbie said. Brian is in Massachusetts listening to the Station of the Cross. Hi, Brian. You're up first today on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie.
Hi, Jerry and Debbie. Hey.
Hey, Brian.
From Massachusetts. Hey, I was really into rock climbing for a good part of my life. You could say I was attached to it or I was addicted to it. And there's a lot of, I have a kerygma with regards to that, a story to share in terms of Christ. And there's a lot of different takes because I've thought about this for many years and struggled with it and whether or not it was the right thing to do. And I don't know how much time you have for me, but briefly, I climbed a lot, and I was always chasing that next best climb, that next adrenaline rush, the next harder climb. I always climbed with a rope, but there were other people who climbed without a rope. And I would ask myself, is this really somebody who claims to be pro-life? Is this really a proper respect for life? And another issue I struggle with, am I too attached to this? And the answer was yes at the time. Am I addicted to this? Is it proper for me to be attached to something like this? I have 6 children. Should I be rock climbing when I have young children at home that I have to provide for? What happens if I fall and die and am not able to provide my children? Ultimately, it came down to my wife said, I think you love rock climbing more than you love me. And I had to give it up, in order to say that wasn't, to be able to show that wasn't true. And I did give it up for a long time. Now, I'd go back and climb occasionally now, but it doesn't have that attachment that it had before. I'm kind of free of that action. And so a lot of different takes we could take on this. What do you think?
Go ahead, Jerry.
I was going to say, Brian, I think your call was a show in itself right there. That was in one... just a few sentences there. You covered a lot of very important aspects of this. Debbie, go ahead.
No, I totally agree. I think that for the health of your marriage, for you to come to that understanding, Brian, I think was huge. And I wish a lot of people would do that, because a lot of times in marriage, people hold on to their quote unquote passions, and their passions override the health and the longevity of the marriage. And what you did, I think, was very brave. I think it was the best rock climbing adventure in and of itself, because you were so brave about that, and you took on your vocation as a husband and as a father of 6 children, and you freed yourself from the attachment and the adrenaline rush of this passion that you had. So Brian, I think it's huge. To me that was heroic. What do you think, Jerry? And I think we just lost Brian, unless he's going to call back.
Yeah, I think Brian might have dropped off there to move on or listen on the radio. But no, I agree completely. I think this is life 101 right here. You mentioned the vocation, Debbie, and this gets down to our state in life. What is our state in life? It's a big question when it comes to something like this. There are people who can get up on a Saturday morning, get up on a Sunday morning, and spend the entire day out rock climbing or bungee jumping or hiking or camping or whatever. If you have a wife and kids at home, well, you can't do that unless you take them along with you. Right. So this was very, very, I think there was a lot of courage shown by Brian in doing
this. Absolutely.
And absolutely, the flip side of that, Debbie, as you know and I know, many of our listeners have experienced, God will work in that. He will bless and bring even greater blessings into the marriage and the family than there otherwise might have been.
Right. And there's something that I think we've got to really remember. You know, eternity is going to be just everything we could ever have imagined, and plus, you know, a million times more than that. I'm sure that, you know, with Brian's sacrifice, if you will, of sacrificing the passion for his vocation, I think there's going to be plenty of rocks to climb in eternity. I think it's going to be fun. You know what yeah. I mean? There's going to be time. Everybody thinks this is it. This is, we have to do it here or we're never going to experience it. And I don't agree with that necessarily. So Brian, if you're listening, way to go. You hit a home run with us. Thank you so much for that wonderful story. And now you could probably take your kids to rock climbing and it becomes a family, you know, outing, which is really cool as well. All right, Nancy, you're up next in Colorado Springs. You're waiting so patiently. Welcome to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. Hi, Nancy.
Oh, hi. I'm sorry. I missed my name.
Oh, it's okay.
I'm just calling. I've never had a bucket list. Don't intend to have one. But I've always thought it would be great fun to go skydiving. And just for the exhilaration of flying through the air, I really liked it when I took flying lessons at one time in my life, and I guess just to say, I did it.
Yeah, Nancy, I can relate. I have taken flying lessons myself. I'm in the long-term flying lesson plan. I started in about 2000, the year 2000. I'm still not finished, but I have soloed a couple times. I hope you were able to do that too. And
yeah, I was.
Oh, is there not? There's no feeling like that, is there?
No. No, that's right. So that's all I had to say.
Okay, well, you know, skydiving, I'm with you, Nancy. I would love to do it. Every time I imagine that in my mind, Debbie, I'm thinking, I'm imagining what I'd be thinking on the way down.
Yeah,
this thing's not going to work.
Oh, I would think more positive.
Yeah, I'm sure
you would. I would think of all God's beauty that I'm seeing.
Wow, no doubt.
I would do it, but I just want to do a tandem. What do you have somebody on your back or you're on somebody's back?
Oh,
how does that
yeah,
work?
I probably would too. But
yeah,
anyway.
I figured if we're going to go down, we're going to go down together.
Well, at least there's somebody there that knows what they're doing.
Exactly.
That's right.
Oh, Nancy.
Thanks, Nancy.
Oh, bless your heart. Bless your heart, Nancy. Have a beautiful day.
1-800-585-9396. Talking today on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie about, is there a little daredevil in you and how far is too far pushing limits? We heard from Brian talking about putting family, marriage, vocational, things like his children first when he had a real passion for rock climbing. What about you? Is there something you've done in your life? Maybe it opened your mind to a deeper trust of God, a greater self-confidence in yourself. 1-800-585-9396. We're going to Lynn next, who's on the Pennsylvania Turnpike listening on Sirius XM 130. Hi, Lynn. Welcome to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie.
Hi. Both my husband and I are extremely risk averse. And I was afraid of the Ferris wheel as a child. I was afraid of the high dive. I would never jump out of a perfectly good airplane. But on our 25th anniversary, one last attempt to recover our youth, we went whitewater rafting in West Virginia. And we were on level 4 and 5 rapids, and our raft did not turn over, and it was great.
Wow. I have to tell you, Lynn, that's my husband's top thing on his bucket list. He would love to do it. So now if he's listening, he's probably going to be booking reservations for us. So would you recommend it to others?
I would totally recommend it.
Really? Wow.
Yes, I would totally recommend it. Go with a good company with, you know, excellent safety ratings. On the bus on the way to the river, they will tell you that you could die. But
that's comforting.
I know, but it was so much fun. I mean, we both really loved it. I will say we haven't done it since then, but it was a great once-in-a-lifetime experience.
Well, Lynn, I'm curious. What you mentioned, it was kind of like one last chance to experience your youth. I can't remember how you put that, but how did this come to mind for you or your husband or both of you? And really, what was that? Briefly tell us what that process was like arriving at the decision to do it.
Wow. Well, we both said, what can we do to celebrate our 25th wedding anniversary? This is important. You know, we should do something really interesting. We should, you know, we should do something that we haven't done before. And I don't know how the idea of whitewater rafting came to us, but we both immediately latched onto it and thought it'd be really fun. And West Virginia is just beautiful. So, I don't really remember much of the process.
Well, we're glad it went well for you, and it sounds like it was a great experience, even if, as you said, you haven't done it again and may never do it again. But, Debbie, these are those once-in-a-lifetime experiences that now Lynn and her husband have that awesome memory, and I'm sure some pictures to prove it.
We do.
Yeah, I was just going to say that, especially when you're doing these adventurous things together, I think is so beautiful, or as a family. I think it's wonderful because when you do come out of it and it's successful like yours was and it was a great experience, it does make those great memories that you always go back to at different events during the year, like at Christmas or Easter when you're sitting around the table and you're talking about all the fun things you did as a couple or family. Way to go, Lynn. I love it. You've inspired me. I'm going to look into it. And if you think West Virginia is where we should go, I'll look into that as well.
Thanks, Lynn, for the call. Appreciate it. Wow, good stuff so far. Yeah.
You didn't even ask me what my daredevil thing is.
What's your daredevil thing?
Well, in 2000, I did a very extensive training in Utah for life skills, and we did a high ropes course, which had a lot of, if you've ever done any life skills training in high ropes courses, they push you to the limit physically. I mean, you're jumping off of 3-story high telephone poles and different things that you never thought you could possibly do. And to boot, Jerry, I did it when it was snowing and the snow was about 12, 13 inches high in
that,
the snow.
Help cushion the landing.
Either that or we almost felt like we were all going to have frostbite. Yeah. I fell, and it's a long story, but I fell but by the grace of God, actually, you're kind of right. The snow actually did help. So it was very interesting because I suffered whiplash. And so they actually put snow on my neck when I fell. So that was very interesting.
Oh, that was convenient.
Yeah, convenient. Yeah, no, I'm still here. Okay, that's my daredevil story. I'm sticking to it. Okay, Pete, you're up next. Toledo, Ohio, listening on Annunciation Radio. Hi, Pete. Welcome to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie.
Hi, how are you guys?
Good, Pete. Good. Thanks for calling.
Good. Listen, I am one of those people who has a bucket list that before I got married and started having children, I was checking them off at a pretty good rate, but since then have not actually done any of them for the last few years. But I've done things such as I have skydived before, which was amazing. I flew to South Africa to visit a friend, and I went shark cage diving with great white sharks, and I too, like your last caller, went water rafting. And for me, it's kind of multifaceted, the reasons I want to do these things. Number one is I always grew up kind of as a thrill seeker. One of the other reasons, though, is that, you know, God has given us all these wonderful, beautiful things in this world, and to not try to experience them, to me, I feel like as an individual, you're selling yourself short, and that there are so many wonderful things to experience that you can actually find God in, that, you know, I try to do those things to kind of remind myself of that. And then I also don't want to ever look back on my life and say, man, I wish I would have, or, you know, I could have done that at some point. I was always encouraged by my parents to go out there and do it. And, you know, I tried to embrace that as best I could. But like I said, once I got married and started having children, then it came down to, like your first caller, it was, you know, what's the responsible thing to do? And that's kind of where I'm at this point in my life. I'm called to be a father and a husband, and I need to be around to do those things.
And that's a thrill in and of itself, Pete.
Oh, it sure is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, well, Pete, if you can hang on, Pete, just for a minute, we're going to pause real quickly here. We've got an immovable break here, but I have a couple thoughts, things that are on my mind that I want to ask you about this. But I love what you've said so far and how you, I guess you came to the realization that Brian did earlier that swimming around with sharks who can eat you up in one bite is probably not as noble as being a husband and a father. If I could put it in those terms. But anyway, that's not really the nugget of my point there for you. But hang on the line. We will be right back here in just a minute. This is Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. I'm Jerry Usher with Debbie Giorgiani and you. We have no open lines right now, but there will be one when we finish up here with each call. We'd love to have you join us. Is there a little daredevil in you? All right. And how far do you feel comfortable pushing limits? Is it a matter of trusting God, or sometimes do we actually put God to the test? We want to hear your take on this.
Father Mitch Pacwa.
On EWTN Open Line, we take your questions. This is kind of fun for me because it's how I started off in radio. There are lots of people who don't believe in God, and I pray for them. A non-Catholic, especially if they're Christians, they believe in Christ. They don't believe in the sacrifice of the Mass, but that's not going to stop me. You know what I mean, Jelly Bean?
Father Mitch Pacwa, Wednesday, 3 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Dr. Ray Guarendi.
When I've had enough. I ask parents, when do you decide to discipline? One of the most common answers is, when I've had enough. If discipline is designed to teach, then we need to discipline before we've had enough. We need to discipline because the behavior's wrong, not because emotionally it's pushed us to our edge. Besides, when you get to when you've had enough, you're much more likely to yell and scream and say things that you have to go to confession for. So, the suggestion is discipline out of principle, not emotion. Principle means because it needs discipline, and I'm going to do it when I'm calm. Emotion means I'm going to be moved to do it just because I'm mad.
For a complete list of the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network AM and FM stations across America, go to EWTN.com. Look for the radio pull-down menu and select AM/FM stations. The list is updated regularly, so visit often. Again, go to EWTN.com. Look for the radio pull-down menu and select AM/FM stations. Also at EWTN.com, you'll find out how to listen to us on the web, on shortwave, and in some countries on satellite. You'll find it all on EWTN.com.
Take Two with Jerry and Debbie, and we have Peter on the line. Peter is in Toledo, Ohio, listening on Annunciation Radio. All right, Peter, real quick, thanks for your patience, by the way. And I'm just a little intrigued about your experience of swimming with the sharks, and I'm wondering how this is done. I know a lot of times it's done when you're in a cage or something like that. Is that what it was, or were you actually out, like, in the water with them and able to kind of touch them and have them swim by you and stuff like that?
Well, I wasn't able to touch them, but I was in the cage. The cage was attached to the boat, and they lowered it down and then secured it to the boat. And then they would bring the sharks in and then allow people to get in, five people at a time, and then keep luring them towards your cage so that way they swam by you so you could see them up close.
It's got to be quite an experience.
Oh, yeah. And, Peter, I always thought that was, like, the ultimate thrill, too. But I don't know if you've seen the new trailer for that movie coming out with the with the shark cage that they lower the girls down and then the cable breaks.
Yes.
And just in that trailer, Peter, oh, my goodness, my heart was racing so badly.
Well, there was a situation that was very scary when I was there, was that there was a lid on this cage. And at one point, one of the sharks had come up out of the water to get the bait that they had on a rope that they were using to lure them close to me. And the lid was open as a woman was getting out. And right as she was getting out, the shark leaped out of the water and actually hooked one of its fins onto the side of the cage. And I have a phenomenal picture of me backing away as far as I could while inside the cage and snapping a photo of that happening. I could see the underbelly of the shark, but you can't see his
his I guess it would be his pectoral fin and his head, they're out of the water. Had he flipped its tail and tried to go up even more, he very well could have ended up right in my cage. So it was quite an experience. That was a little crazy. that was a little more than I signed on for.
So, all right,
but
Peter,
make a good story.
Clarify that. Who was taking the pictures, you or somebody else?
No, I had an underwater camera, so I took them. As I was,
okay.
As we saw this happening, actually, because the person to the right of me that was closer to the shark was climbing okay. over my shoulder. So that made me turn, and he was climbing over to get away, obviously. And I turned and looked, and that's what I saw, and I just quickly put up my camera and snapped the picture.
Wow.
Yeah,
so I'm curious, Peter, are you going to go see that movie that's coming out, just out of curiosity?
I don't think so. I think it looks a little hokey.
Yeah, okay.
A little cliche, maybe.
Yeah, a little cliche.
Wow.
Peter, great stuff, man. Thanks. This has been a real joy to talk with you and hear these experiences. Thank you for sharing that with us. And keep your radio dial tuned right there to Annunciation Radio, one of our very valued affiliates. And we thank them and all the stations for carrying the program.
Yep. Thank you so much, Peter. Have a beautiful and blessed day. Okay, Marion, you're up next in Wyoming, listening on Sirius XM 130. You've been waiting so patiently. Welcome to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. Hi, Marion.
Well, my mom is very, very competitive, and my dad was very shy. We'd have a little softball game, and he'd be calling balls and strikes from under a tree. But they had nine children. I'm the seventh. And I play all kinds of sports, and I'm retired, actually, still playing. But on my 58th birthday, I was going to go skydiving. My husband and I went on a little trip. And I signed up on a Monday for Tuesday, and then I cried hysterically. When was the last time I've been to confession? And oh my goodness. But fortunately, it rained so much. We were in southern Utah that they pushed it off till Friday. And by Friday, I was good. So I wanted to do this since I was 36, but right before my birthday, I had a real bad car accident. And so I put it up. So I go and I saw the first President Bush jump out of a perfectly good airplane with a tandem situation. I went, oh, I could do that. So I did that, and it was a lot of fun. But what happened after was even better. So my mom was in an Alzheimer's unit, and I'm telling this, I call her and say, you know, thanks for being my mom and everything. Today's my birthday, Mom, and she says to me, you were always, sorry, this makes me cry, you were always very adventurous. So I'm telling this to my best friend, and she said, your mother has Alzheimer's, and she knew it was you. So that was the best part of it, that I had my fun, but my mom, God was able to help her come out of that situation and know that it was me. That was why it was so fantastic.
Wow.
Wow.
What a beautiful end to that experience.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a blessing you received.
It was. It was just, and the exhilaration. When we got in the car to start coming home, I slept for 4 hours. When I woke up, we were in another state. So that adrenaline rush was probably the biggest I've ever had in my life. But I'm very competitive, and that has occasionally in my life gotten in the way, particularly with my children because they're very shy. But anyway, my mom being able to do that was just phenomenal.
Well, yeah, and Debbie, I know, might have some thoughts on your mother there, Marion. I just want to say, with regard to what you did, you had the apprehension on the front end of it. You were happy that the rain delayed it a few days, and then you got to a place where you were okay doing that. And I just think of how many times in life, when we have opportunities like this to do something that is just really perhaps not repeatable, maybe we could do it again, but typically once in a lifetime. I know I have a lot of things I look back on, and I opted out, and I didn't have the courage or the self-confidence or the trust in God or whatever. And we, you know, it's so we can look back in life and we can see those things that we could have done but chose not to, or in your case, you saw something that you had the opportunity to do and you were able to do it. And that could never, ever leave you, that experience. And yeah, then, of course, right. Debbie having that beautiful encounter with her mom afterwards.
Yeah, then the gift that you got from your mom, I think, is precious. And I just love that. One thing I do love about your personality, Marian, is I'm the same way, is that when you said, when you were about to do something adventurous, you know, did I go to confession? I did the same thing. When I went to the high ropes course, I got everything in order, in case I didn't come back, you know?
Yes.
Yeah, I wanted to make sure I was in a good state.
Well, and one funny thing was my birthday's in October, and in the summer I was golfing with my youngest daughter, and I was clear blue skies. She said, "Are you still interested in skydiving?" Like, where did that come from? And well, my husband had said, "Figure out a way to find out if your mom still wants to do this," because I found a place we could. it was wonderful. But what everybody said about skydiving, the floating, it's unbelievable. But the end of it for me was far above everything else.
And that speaks volumes, Marian. That says what kind of heart you have and what kind of mother you have. And so can we pray for her, Marian? We like to keep a list of people that we pray for and
yes.
Never first name.
Her name is Arlene, and she passed away at age 91.
Okay.
2011. Well, that's another thing. She was dying, and I said, "Mama, I'm coming on Friday." And she waited until Friday when I got there.
Oh.
And and we sang happy birthday, and then she died in the night.
Sounds like a
That's
special
priceless,
mom.
Yeah. Yeah,
it is. Priceless.
Yeah, she had a full life, that's for sure.
That's a good thing. Well, we're glad you shared it with us. You know, it's beautiful that you're letting us into your relationship and your family situation. I love that, because now we get to know Arlene a little better, and because of you.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it. I listen to you quite often, and usually I'm on my way to somewhere, so I can't be on hold. So I don't call in, but this was perfect. We had a windstorm yesterday, so I was driving around looking at trees.
Okay. Well, Marian, bless your heart. We're glad that you... Yeah, we're glad that you did stay on hold today and get on the program. And we've got several others of you that we're going to get to here. Is there a little daredevil in you? That's what we're talking about today on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. So let's see. Esther and Teresa, hold on. You are just right in the queue behind Paul, who's in Rockville, Maryland. Paul, listening on Guadalupe Radio. Paul, thanks for calling Take Two with Jerry and Debbie.
Hey, thank you very much. How are you doing today?
Better
doing
now
well.
That you called.
Thank you.
Great. Thank you for taking my call. Just wanted to say, you know, some great stories from your listeners, so it's a blessing to hear that. There has been some research that shows that, you know, mentioned earlier the rise of extreme sports and so forth, and it seems like there are a lot of people who are trying to find these experiences that transcend the normal, the everyday, and so that's one theory as to why there's this rise of extreme sports. You talk about the exhilaration and going beyond the everyday life. I wonder, though, and I personally am more of a risk-averse type of a fellow, but I wonder if sometimes if we're too risk-averse, I wonder if God, if we're willing, if God can use those desires for adventure to help build the kingdom. And the example I think of, you probably know a lot more about Francis Xavier than I do, but, you know, as a student at University of Paris, he was sort of the man about town, the best student, the best athlete, wanted to win the world for himself. And it wasn't until he encountered Ignatius that he really realized what a fool he had been. And then he, in humility, realized he wanted to win the world for God. And so when the Pope asks, "Hey, we need people to go to the East, to India, and so on," who's the first one to volunteer? And so my thought is that with this, desire for the extraordinary experiences, which can be kind of dangerous if we're just seeking thrills, but is there a way through our own conversion that God can use those desires to help build the kingdom? You know, if we're so risk averse, I mean, Francis Xavier would never have gone to India. You know what I mean?
Right, right. No, I think absolutely. You are making a phenomenal point here, Paul. And I would throw the question back to you initially. Debbie and I can maybe share some thoughts. But do you think maybe that these are kind of two sides of the same coin, maybe, that we're wired a little bit to be adventurous and to, you know, I call it the Lewis and Clark mentality, you know, to explore, to push boundaries, to push limits, to see what we can do. And that just sort of then gets, I guess if I can use the word, sanctified or converted or transformed into a passion to do that for God. Would you say that maybe it's kind of the same thing that we're talking about?
I hope so. I think so. I come from a family of real risk takers, and so I think there you could talk about horizontal experiences and vertical experiences, and it seems that on a certain human level, there are a lot of folks these days who have the desire to experience everything, you know? But at some point when they realize, wait a second, that's on a horizontal plane, and there's only so much in this world I can experience. And then they just have an experience of God. Maybe it's in adoration one day. Maybe it's helping a poor person, some encounter they have. And they realize, whoa, wait a second, there's an infinite that's waiting for me that I don't have to go and experience things on the other side of this earth. I actually, through prayer and through grace, can be open to this transcendent experience and this something that's far beyond the ordinary in my everyday life.
Yeah. See, I would agree with that line of thinking, Paul. That's how I view it too. I also just think to myself that sometimes this adventurous thing of trying to do everything and anything to experience that rush or that thrill how can I say this? It's limited because we're limited by time and by space. And so I personally believe this idea of pushing the boundaries, if you will, it's a kind of a foretaste of the kingdom, because when we're in our glorified state, God willing, I mean, we're going to be able to experience so many things that we never could have experienced here on this earth. And I think sometimes we try to do it here on this earth to try and get that feeling. So I'm on the same line of thinking as you are, Paul, because I personally believe when you do transcend into a spiritual experience, it is the most euphoric experience you could possibly encounter. More so than jumping off a plane, out of a plane. Go ahead.
Absolutely, Debbie. And I think that when, you know, you mentioned about the finiteness, you know, limited resources, limited time, and so forth. I wonder, though, if there's a way that we can use this line of thinking, you know, and the phenomenon of desiring more and experiencing more, if we can use that as an invitation to people who are secular, to people who are in sort of the traveler mentality and trying to experience everything, and help them see that if God is knocking on their door, there's an invitation to a different kind of traveling, you know, an infinite, like you mentioned, the infinite,
right.
that I think if they saw it that way, I think a lot of people would be open to it, you know?
Yeah, I agree with you 100%, because I have a lot of friends that are into nature. That's become their church. Nature has become their church. And it's interesting, because if they took that same passion and put it into their spiritual experiences within the church setting, the church community, my goodness, would they be, I just think it'll be so much more. What do you think, Jer?
Or not have nature be the end of it all. Because
okay.
Let nature lead us to the creator of nature. You know, it's beautiful and fine, and it could be a very glorious experience to be out among nature and allow that to lead our hearts, elevate our hearts and minds to God. But when it becomes an end in itself, and I think maybe that's what I would take away from what Paul is saying, there are many things we can do to have that momentary adrenaline rush, but they become sort of empty if that's sort of the end of it, if we stop it right there. But mm-hmm. if we can sanctify all things, and I think we've learned a little bit more about that here on the program today. Anything else, Paul?
Just one thing, kind of what your earlier caller said, you know, my wife and I have 6 kids, many of whom have special needs, and so that is quite an adventure in itself. And we're very thankful for the faith. We're thankful for the grace of the sacraments. We're thankful for your show. So please keep up the great work you're doing.
Pray for us, if you would, please. And then we'll pray
please,
for you, Paul.
And pray for us, please.
Absolutely,
yes,
Paul. God
it.
Bless you.
It.
Thank you so
God
much.
God bless you all. Bye-bye.
Thanks.
Yes. I love having 6 kids, because I'm 1 of 6. You're 1 of 5, correct?
I am.
Yeah, I'm 1 of 6, too. I just think 6 is so cool. It's like the Brady Bunch. Okay, next up is Esther. You're listening in Garland, Texas on Guadalupe Radio Network. Hi, Esther. Thanks for waiting. Welcome.
Oh, you're welcome. My Daredevil thing is a bumper sticker I put on my car. And that bumper sticker says, I support the president. I support our president. And God bless America. And I thought, I can't do this. Times are bad. We can't put it something like that on my car without it getting damaged. I thought, okay, I'll go ahead and do it, and then I sprinkled water, holy water, around my car and on everything. And that's my story.
It's pretty risky, Esther, but I love it.
Yeah, I thought, you know what? We've got to stand up for our faith in what's right. So I thought, this is what I need to do.
Yeah, well, you talk about an adrenaline rush. I would think every time you're in the car that the adrenaline's rushing because you're thinking, I hope, and nobody's seeing this.
Well, you know, I thought, God's got to protect it because I did it.
Well, Esther, I'm curious, had you heard of cars being vandalized because of this? Is that part of what your hesitation was?
Yes, I have, and American flags being torn down in neighborhoods because, you know, it's unbelievable, but yes. It happens. It's been happening. And we just, it's not reported in the news, of course. But, yeah. So I thought, why not?
Well, I think you're pretty pretty brave, and I love it, and I love the way you sprinkled the holy water, because we know the power of the sacramental of holy water, absolutely. And the Church Pop has a whole articles coming out on St. Teresa of Avila talking about holy water and the power of it. Yeah. So Esther, way to go. You're definitely a hero of mine. I love it.
Oh, well, thank you. But with a lot of God's power behind me.
Amen. Okay, thanks,
well,
Esther.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, I initially thought she was going to say maybe put a bumper sticker, I love the Pope, or I'm Catholic and I vote, or something like that. Because those are, you know, I don't like to put anything on my car at all.
I don't like bumper stickers.
I have a general rule.
Right.
So I it's never an issue for me. But, you know, you see some of these cars that look like they've, you know, you can't tell what kind of car it is. I'm sure that's not the case with Esther, but, you know, loaded full of stickers. So bless your heart, though, Esther.
Yeah.
Appreciate that. Okay, Teresa is in Ashland, Wisconsin on Sirius XM 130. Hi, Teresa. We're glad you waited and called Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. Hello.
Hello. Good to hear your show, Jerry and Debbie. It's always a pleasure listening to you. And thanks be to God that you folks are doing what you're doing. I am really impressed with the type of callers that you get. And thank you for letting me be a part of it today.
Well, you're another one of them, Esther, Teresa. Yeah, we're counting on big things from you, so go ahead.
Well, when I was 15, I was the eldest of five, and my mother was a convert, and she was very zealous with her faith, so she was trying to she turned me away from the faith, and I decided to go to a retreat program. At the age of 17, I consecrated myself to Jesus through Mary, and I wear a miraculous medal 24/7. So I had a real deep relationship with Christ and Mary at the young age. But as I grew older in my 20s, I started to become more invincible in my mind and thinking. Yet I invited every morning, I would say, the morning offering and invite God in my life, Holy Spirit in my life, to guide me and help me to do God's will rather than my will. So I became a private pilot, and I also became a scuba diver, certified in scuba diving. And I'm a blacksmith, a farrier. I work on a psychiatric unit. And a lot of experiences I've had where other people were reluctant to go to the limits that I chose to. I also drove stock cars, raced them, and I also raced snowmobiles to excessive speeds. And I just always felt close to God and the Holy Spirit. And there was times, for instance, in my flying experiences, I was flying in a tail dragger with another beginner. I thought he had soloed in his tail dragger, and he had not. And I was a licensed pilot, but I hadn't been in that particular plane or checked out in that plane. And we took off flying. I thought he also did a pre-flight, and he did not. And we were just buzzing some of the fields and the woods around the airport. And I got this thought, we better go back, because I don't know if Matt checked the gas and did a pre-flight prior to this. And we got back and we checked the fuel tanks and they were empty. It's by the grace of God that I'm able to exist, I guess, today, because those are the kind of experiences that I have. Even with a horse that was a stallion, he he was about 18, 20 years old, and a farrier must have really hit him hard and kind of abused him with his not standing still. So the owner of the animal said, this horse's hooves can never get trimmed. And I said, well, by the grace of God, I believe maybe I can do the job, but I'm willing to try. So I went out into an open field with the horse, and I could tell he was nervous with a male handler, so I suspect it was a male farrier that worked with the horse. And so I did everything by myself in the middle of the field, because the first instinct for a horse is to run. If they're cornered or confined, then they may kick and hurt you. Well, this particular stallion, I was able to do all four of his hooves, and when I was on the third hoof, finishing up to the trimming, I asked the man to approach us and asked him to hold the horse. I wanted to see if I could accomplish that task with that man being there. And I also took my tools and I just moved them gently over the body of the animal to let the animal know that I was not going to abuse the animal by hitting with those tools. At any rate, make a long story short, when the man was holding the horse out in the middle of the field and I was working on the last hoof, I just felt the horse tense, and he just needed to get out of that situation. Well, I just curled up in a little ball, and the horse didn't even step on me but did get out of that situation. And so then I asked the man to once again remove himself from that environment, and I was able to do the fourth hoof real easy. So once again, I don't consider myself a daredevil or a risk taker to the point of seriously injuring myself or others, because I do perceive myself as a temple of the Holy Spirit, my body. But I also love the relationship I have with God and the Holy Spirit, so that there's that seventh sense or awareness, and I'm open to all communication, behavioral, even on the psychiatric unit. There are people that are scared of some of these patients, but I keep my spatial boundaries. I did get into martial arts, too, as a awareness of my own abilities. So I think, again, if we, by the grace of God, can be present and allow God to work in and through us, we can accomplish things that we wouldn't perceive we could on our own. And we can't, I don't believe, on our own.
Well, Teresa, you made the comment a minute ago, you don't consider yourself a daredevil. That was a lifetime of, if not daredevil stuff, you've really bordered on that a lot. What an incredible life you have lived and the experiences that you have had. And I really, really, and I know Debbie, you'll agree with this, I just love the way you weave God into this, Teresa. And
absolutely.
You realize that, here again, I think this is a perfect summary of what we were trying to get across here on the program today, Debbie, is, we are free in the Lord to do some of these things and to push limits, push boundaries, to test what the human person is capable of doing, but not in a foolish way, but always sort of with God by our side, And
right.
We've heard so much of that from our listeners today.
Yeah, absolutely, Teresa. I mean, I'm walking away from your story just this idea of being constantly aware of God's hand in things. And thank you for the work that you do and your precious spirit. George and Cindy and the others, we're so sorry we couldn't get to you. I just want to say real quickly, Jerry, about bumper stickers. I do love bumper stickers. I just don't like the sticky backing of them. So what I do is I put magnets on the back of my... Yes, and I make it a magnetic bumper sticker. There you go.
All right. Thanks, everyone, for your calls today. Again, as Debbie said, gosh, we hate getting to the end of the show, not being able to get to some of you, but we will be back with you again tomorrow. We're going to talk about, it's vacation time. People, you're heading out. You're going places. You're doing things. Don't forget to leave a little room in your suitcase for God. That's our topic tomorrow.
And it's going to be a good one. So until then, have a beautiful and blessed day. We'll see you real soon.